5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play, tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and a
Dean Martin, I love Dean Martin. I interviewed him a couple of times. Good morning, New York. We're back from our wonderful family holiday in northern Italy. Erica Sol and I had a fabulous time. Thank you for asking. I mean, from seeing Da Vinci's Last Supper to visiting the World Expo in Milano, gondolas in Venice, boat riding past George Clooney's house on the breathtakingly beautiful Lake Como.
He wouldn't invite you in, no?
I don't think he was home. He had been just before we got there. We ate caprese salad in every town in northern Italy. Enough pasta to last a lifetime. So what did I miss? Not much, right?
Oh, nothing at all, yeah. Well, Trump's still the headline, right?
Trump. But before I get to my friend the Donald and how he dominated the headlines even in Europe, I mean, what's with this deadly outbreak of Legionnaire's disease? My old stomping grounds there, 149th Street in the Bronx. You know, I was in charge of ladies' cottons in the now defunct Alexander, the long defunct Alexander's department store there. But they have this nice hotel, the Opera House Hotel. It was really bringing back that neighborhood. Now, what did you say, 100-some cases?
Yeah, it's more than 115 cases. But there has not been a new case in 7 days, but 12 deaths all total.
12 people dead. I mean, it seems to me that that should be getting a lot more attention than it has been, at least internationally. I mean, my goodness, there's a plague in the South Bronx just when it was starting to come back. It was just very, very unsettling, although, as Noam says, no cases since August 3rd, you said?
That's right.
Good. That's good. I mean, at least maybe they've got their handle, got the handle on that. Just starting today's sports headlines, I mean, I get so much to talk about. I mean, the Jets committing suicide, losing Geno Smith. I mean, not that he was all that, but he was their starting quarterback, probably lost their season, too, in this stupid locker room brawl with a third-string linebacker, a guy with a history of violence. I mean, over a $600 beef, that's what it was. I mean, it's just so stupid. Nobody getting arrested here, but the Jets have had 11 arrests in the last 5 years. 260 NFL players arrested over the last 5 years. I mean, it's really, it's like a thug league. It is unbelievable. You know, remember Ray Rice, etc. But that leads me to the whole Black Lives Matter, that movement, and whatever legitimacy it has, face it, it should have legitimacy. There is a real beef, a legitimate beef about black men getting shot by cops. But the activists there, this Black Lives Matter, they've been squandering whatever legitimacy they have. They've been obnoxiously interrupting these political rallies, much worse than that. Instead of respectfully marking, and this is my view from Europe, instead of respectfully marking the first anniversary of Michael Brown, the teenager's notorious death by the cop, of course, not indicted. But in Ferguson, Missouri, you had anarchist thugs hijacking the memorial, using it as an excuse to shoot at cops, trash, loot their own neighborhoods, the shops owned by their neighbors, beauty parlors and so forth in Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, what's with that? I actually thought, and for a time I was going to go right from Italy to Ferguson. It died down a little last night. But it's crazy what happened. And there they are. You see the kid with the gun, the kid that got shot. He's critically wounded now. They show the video now. The kid clearly had a gun. He was shooting. You could see the powder flashes from the muzzle of his weapon. I mean, you're wondering why cops shoot it at some of these kids. I mean, sometimes the reason is, more often than not, I would submit, the reason is it's because of real violence and a righteous reason. And it's that violence should be the center of these movements. If Black Lives Matter, they matter more than just when they're taken by a white cop. You know, really, we got to focus on that, the civil war in the ghetto. I'm telling you, it's been just horrible. All right, but I'm burying the lead. I know what everybody wants to talk about. My friend, my former Celebrity Apprentice boss, Donald Trump. You know, he's larger than life. His personality, even his presidential candidacy, it was leading all of the European news programs, just like it was here at home, following that Fox News debate. I know you've been all talking about that. I want to thank Judge Napolitano. I want to shout out Bernie McGurk, Sid Rosenberg. You know him for, very capably filling this chair and talking about that debate and the confrontation Trump had with my other friend and colleague Megyn Kelly. Everyone's been talking about all throughout the world, not just in the English-speaking world. It's just remarkable what big news it is. Trump was on my friend Sean Hannity's show last night for the whole hour. I'm going to be on Sean's show tonight talking about Trump and other things. Here, Crash, play. Here was Sean's first question to Trump last night.
All right, let's start with the elephant in the room. The Fox issue is resolved, and how did that come about?
Well, I have a great relationship with Roger Ailes, and actually I didn't understand what went wrong because I felt it wasn't really, I was not treated fairly, and Roger called me the other day, and it's absolutely fine.
Let's go to the polls. Two new polls out today. One shows you up in Iowa. Another shows you up in New Hampshire by a pretty significant margin. You had a poll yesterday that showed you up in Iowa. National polls, you went up in the NBC poll. All post-debate. What do you make of that?
I won the debate. I mean, everybody tells me I won the debate. They did polls of the debate itself, and I was in the 60s and 70 percentages, and I think that I won the debate. I love doing it in a certain way. I will say this for the last time. I don't think I was treated fairly, but these are minor details. I really had a good time doing it. It was very interesting.
So he says he wasn't treated fairly, and, you know, you judge that for yourselves, and I know everybody has a strong opinion about that. Do I think he was really referring to Megan's menstruating, her period when he said she had blood coming out of her wherever? When she went after him about referring to women as fat and disgusting and slobs and so forth. I think maybe he was. You know, I certainly know how, my friends and I have spoken over the years in locker rooms. You say a whole lot of things. Usually you don't say them, on international TV. But he says in his very passionate defense that only deviants would think he was talking about her menstrual cycle. I mean, I don't know. I'm not so sure. I suspect we'll never know, but I've decided on that beep. I'm neutral. I tweeted out from Switzerland. I went to Switzerland where everybody is neutral, that I'm going to be neutral between Donald and Megan. But I also tweeted out that if he was really a sexist, his daughter Ivanka would not be one of the most successful women of her generation. And I would have won Celebrity Apprentice. I told him after, Lisa Gibbons beat me, I said, man, thank God you had her win. Because if I was the winner, you know, we both would have been reamed by the women's movement. I said that to him. He kind of, I don't want to say what he said. It's kind of, I just said what I said. I think that Megan, I got to say this, Megan, I tweeted this out from Italy also. I think that Megan and our Fox News colleagues, Brett Baer and Chris Wallace, did a magnificent job. Trump did his job. He dominated, as he said, he dominated the debate. He firmly established himself as the leading candidate. And the result was, you can't argue with the success. The most watched cable news program in the history of television, like the Super Bowl of cable news. It was just remarkable. And I think that 90% of that, if I was going to guess, maybe 80% of that was all Trump.
Oh, yeah. I would say watching. 90%.
90. Yeah. He was the dominant figure. And it's so funny, you know, when I went away before the debate, and, just looking back on some of my own editorializing, the presumptive nominee was who? Governor Jeb Bush. Look at him now. He's wallowing. He's barely in the double digits.
in many of these polls. He's trailing Donald Trump everywhere. In Iowa, Bush has 5% to Trump's 17%. And I think that that is just, I mean, and he seems worn out. He seems so low-key, you know, I don't want to say wimpy, whiny, but, you know, until very recently, I mean, when now he's finally zeroing in on Hillary Clinton and, you know, some of her policies, particularly in Iraq. I'll play a clip of that in a while. I think that that's good news because he's just been, you know, if he thought he was going to be the, you know, going to coast to the nomination, raising $100 million and all the rest of it, man, he certainly lowballed Donald Trump. And now I think the real alternatives to Trump, at least right now, are my other old Fox News pal, the Ohio Governor John Kasich, who was on home turf for that debate, but the audience loved him. And, of course, Carly Fiorina. I think that, you know, you can't ignore the fact that she really is getting a second look by a lot of people. I think she'd be a terrific vice presidential candidate, which Barack Obama would have been also, you know, in 2008. But it shows how much I know. But I do think she'd be a good second, you know, second chair for any of the candidates. And I actually tweeted out that I thought that Trump Fiorina would be a hell of a ticket. But really, I think that Carly Fiorina would, in many ways, neutralize Hillary's inside advantage with the woman vote, which is now in play, because I'm not sure how many women are going to be voting for Donald Trump given this. I'd like to hear from you all about that, 866-HERALDO, ladies and gentlemen. You know, according to this latest Republican primary voter survey from Rasmussen, and I think that this is really the headline, and let's not give it short shrift. The fact is that Trump is on top, and Trump has surged. And if you go back a couple of weeks, it's remarkable and historic how Donald Trump has gone from nowhere to leading the pack. But listen to this, and I think this is really the headline. Trump has 17%, more or less, in Iowa and in New Hampshire and nationally. 17% clearly leading every other candidate, but... And Noam, you referenced this in your newscast. When I left in late July, he was at 26% before that first debate. 26% Trump, now 17%. So I think these next few days are very important for Donald Trump. I think he's, now that he's veered away from attacking Megan and after meeting my boss Roger Ailes and making this, you know, this peace treaty kind of, he's into higher concept, more presidential stuff. I love what he had to say about lobbyists, how they bought and paid for all these other politicians. They get favors and access. They've totally perverted and polluted and denigrated the whole political system. Trump is absolutely spot on about that. So that's my advice to my old boss there, Donald. Stick with that stuff. People are yearning for that. They want you to talk about being high energy. They want to talk, for instance, when the Black Lives Matter people took over Bernie Sanders' microphone. And that's another issue I want to talk to you about when we come back, Hillary and Bernie Sanders. But Trump never would have let those people take his mic. He would have smacked them right off the stage. It would have been a much more dramatic approach. So high energy, go after the pollution, the perversion of the political system, stick with issues. You'll be a wonderful contrast to wimpy, whiny. I use the lethargic politics of say, Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. But no more about bodily fluids, regardless of the orifice. No more about that. So much to talk about. 866-HERALDO, 866, what the hell is that number? 437-2536.
You know, I don't need money. I'm running my own deal. I don't want anything. I have no special interests behind me. I have no lobbyists. I hire lobbyists. I have lobbyists calling me all the time. Any way you want to be involved, I say, I do not want your money. Do you understand that? So well, I can do what's right for the country.
Now, to me, that is his strongest appeal. I believe that his energy, his innovation, his business acumen, those are the things, in my humble opinion, Donald Trump should stick to. That's where clearly he has an advantage over the run-of-the-mill politicians, even people as well-established as Jeb Bush. They've got to go with their hat in hand. You give someone $1 million, when they call you 3 months later and say, hey, I want to get my son into Annapolis, or I need this permit for this development, or I want the, you know, access to this or that defense program. I mean, you got to take the call if you take the money. And I think that's where Trump clearly trumps all the other candidates. What do you think? 866 Geraldo. Let's see, my first caller of the new era will be Ted in Connecticut. What's up, Ted? What are you thinking about?
Hey, Geraldo, hey, good to talk to you. But
Thanks, man.
I will just say this, okay? You know, the Donald, and I know him not as well as you do, but I play golf with a guy.
But he's pretty good.
I'm sorry?
He's a pretty good golfer.
Yeah, he is. Not as good as me, but that's a different story.
Okay, that's another story.
Okay, but here's the thing. You know, the Donald has played both sides. He's given money to everybody in order to get what he needs, you know, over the course of his career. And it's been very successful. I give him all the credit in the world for that. But he has played both sides. In other words, I give you money. I want something back from it, right?
Right.
But then in the next time, now he's saying, I don't need any money, but he's...
Ted, is the interesting thing about Trump. He absolutely describes in vivid, accurate detail the perversion of the political process. And to make it even more powerful, he admits that he played the part of the buying of the favor, that he played the part of the lobbyist, as it were, giving money to the various candidates because he, Trump, wanted access. So he admits that he was part of that process and says that as the candidate, he doesn't need the money. He won't play either side. I think that's refreshing.
Well, I think it is refreshing. I mean, and the other thing that is also refreshing, and I'll give him a lot of credit for this, is also that the political correctness has run its course in my mind. All right, it stifles conversation. It is it's detrimental to any debate. Right, the left always.
I agree with that, but there are some things you can't do. And one of the things you can't do is talk about the bodily fluids of a woman. You can't do that.
No,
I don't, whether it's coming out of her nose or eyes or ears or wherever, it's just, you got to go a different direction. But Ted, I got to go. I love talking to you. And someday you'll show me how to drive the damn thing. I'm useless. Worst golfer in America, the major tournament named after him. Here's Valerie in Brooklyn. Hey, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, so I am female, obviously, and I'm 100% in support of Mr. Trump. I'm definitely going to support him. If he receives the nomination, I'm going to be supporting him and hopefully working on his campaign. But I do want to say that I believe Megyn Kelly also did not treat him fairly. I think that the issue she brought up about the women issue is not an issue that America is concerned with right now. I'm sorry. I think America right now is concerned with taxes. I think we're concerned with ISIS. I think we're concerned about our veterans. I think we're concerned about our borders. We're also concerned about, like the other caller had mentioned, about political correctness. It's getting really ridiculous. I believe that political correctness is just a censorship of our First Amendment right of speech and freedom of speech. And I'd really like to try to get these liberal progressives out of the administration.
Okay, Valerie, excellent call. Wonderful speaker. I spoke with so many nice people that said in Italy, who said, from this area, they listen every morning, delightful. What I'm concerned about is the stock market, which is down 250 points right now. I'm a before Donald Trump's entry into politics, so I don't know who he's referring to. Maybe Jesus. Weezer. Some of the greatest friends I have were sitting in as I was away with the family in northern Italy. I mentioned the list earlier. I left out Dominic Cordo. I want to thank him as well. But two of those I did mention are joining us live right now. The judge himself, Judge Andrew Napolitano, is on the line. Hey, Judge, what's up?
Oh, Robert, how are you, my man?
And Bernard McGurk, the one and only sidekick to Imus, a colleague of mine at Fox News. Thank you for coming in, Bernie.
It's a pleasure. pleasure.
Oh, Geraldo is back, baby.
You know, your shoes are too big. My shoes do not fit into them.
You guys were massive and so helpful, and you could not get off the Trump topic because the folks just like right now burning up the lines talking about Bernie.
Oh, you know, it's just, Trumpzilla. I'm on the Trumpzilla train. Let's put it, look, the guy's great. He's a great showman. He's a combination of Don Rickles and Ronald Reagan, if you ask me. And there's no way to avert your eyes. He's the main story. It's entertainment. You would be remiss in this business if you did not focus on Donald Trump.
And yet, Judge, it was very uncomfortable. I could sense the squirming at Fox News, this big collision between Megyn Kelly, our friend, our dear friend, our colleague. We love her in every regard. And our pal, Donald Trump. It was a tough position for us all to be in, eh, Judge?
After Bernie and I finished plotting our conspiracy to take over the show, we compared notes in the hallway about how you can't get away from this topic. And I said to Bernie, and I've even said on air, I was astounded at the calls. They were running 10 and 15 to 1 in favor of the Donald and against Megan. Maybe it was my defense of her, but the more I defended her, the more pro-Donald the calls became.
Now, do you, Bernie, have any doubt but that where the bodily fluids were emanating?
Listen, he has, on that issue, he has plausible deniability.
There's no barely plausible.
There's no way to prove it. Now, look, I'm not a
fan. You and I come from
the
same
place. Of course, of course. If I was a betting man, if I knew that it could be proven and I had a bet on it, I'd bet that he was talking about what he was talking about.
Yeah.
However, look, they went hard at Trump. Now, they asked him some tough questions that Megyn Kelly is correct. They will ask in the when he runs against the Democratic opponent, whoever that is. However, they could have asked Ben Carson about his comments that being gay is a choice, and look at the guys who are coming out of prison. They could have asked Huckabee about his transgender jokes. They could have asked Marco Rubio about lying about his parents fleeing Castro. In fact, they came before Castro came to him, but they didn't. They went after Trump. Of course, he's the front runner. But still, I mean, you could have asked a lot of those types of questions.
Well, to what Bernie is saying, Geraldo, I spoke with our mutual friend or frenemy, Roger Stone.
He's no friend of mine,
right,
punk.
I'm kidding you when I said frenemy. inside
punk.
This is before he and Trump parted. Who fired whom, who knows. But inside the Trump camp, they were making the very argument that Bernie just made. Bernie made it more effectively. They did not ask as highly a personal, deeply into history question of anybody else as they did the Donald. Now, nobody's personality was as big as the Donald. Nobody was the sort of come at me with everything you have as the Donald was. But they really felt that he was treated unfairly.
And
I
also,
don't think he was treated unfairly, but that's how they felt.
That's Judge Napolitano. Here's Bernard McGuirk.
The context, Geraldo, of course, Rosie O'Donnell started that fight. You know, he was responding. She viciously went after him that morning. Remember,
right.
It was over a beauty pageant that he gave a contestant a second chance because she had taken drugs or something like that. They busted her. He gave her a second chance and he had a press conference. The next morning, Rosie O'Donnell was throwing her hair up around and she was talking like, I'm the Donald and who is he? He's the moral authority all of a sudden. She was mocking him and then she went after his marital history. So he was reacting, responding to it. So it was sort of a little out of context, but it's fair in that, yes, he will be asked that if he's the candidate. However, it was a little, it was tough. They went hard after Trump, and if they didn't go hard after him, they would have been accused of going soft.
Okay,
so
are we degenerates, as the Donald suggested, because of the implication we put
into
the
interview? You can't scare me with that kind of talk.
No question about what he wanted us to think.
You know, yeah. But the thing is, you see, I started with this Rasmussen survey. My guest Bernard McGuirk and Judge Napolitano. I started the show with the Rasmussen survey that shows what? Shows Trump now leading in every poll, everywhere, Iowa, New Hampshire, nationally.
Yes.
Trump's ahead. But
yes.
When I left, it was 26% for Trump. Now it's 17-18% for Trump. Is there a chance, Bernie, that the bloom is off the rose?
I think the debate may have hurt him slightly because, some of the questions that he had to respond to and then subsequent interview with Don Lemon in which he made those unfortunate comments. However, if, for example, if you watch his speech last night in Michigan, his message will again come out that we're a bunch of a nation of suckers and saps. You know, the Bergdahl trait.
He's probably right about that.
He is.
The beauty of his candidacy.
I think that's the essence of his message, yes.
Well, that should be.
Whether he's right about it or not, there are many, many people who feel voiceless, and they believe he's right about it, and they're rallying to his cause. And Geraldo, they have never voted for a Republican in their lives. I can tell you that from having
But look at me. Look at the respect and affection I have for Donald Trump. His policy on immigration, the opposite of mine. I mean, some of the things he says about Obamacare, for example, the opposite of mine. He's the Iran nuclear deal, the opposite of my position. And yet I still love the guy. Why? Because I believe he is a principled man. He's a strong and independent man. Right. And to me, it is the fact that this political system of ours is so rotten that lobbyists buy access, they buy favors, they buy contracts, they have absolutely destroyed this. I don't trust anybody. I think Citizens United and everything else has made the rich man now is in charge of politics. I want someone like Trump who is truly independent of me.
You're right. He's like the ex-addict who can speak about addiction. Yes, he was part of the problem before, but
and
now he's exposing it. And yes, and you know, again, the nation of suckers and saps that we are. Did you hear what he say about going over and taking the oil from ISIS?
I like that.
And taking it and keeping it for the United States.
I like that. Well, I don't know about keeping it for the United States. I don't know about that part. But in terms of military strategy, he is spot on.
Yes.
Spot on. That's what Cheney wanted in 2003 to take the Iraqi oil. It's not.
No, that's not what Cheney. Cheney wanted to win hearts and minds. He wanted to democratize the region. Yeah. Trump is like, if we're going to go over there, we're going to put money in our pockets and we're going to pay the families of the wounded soldiers oil money.
I don't mind that part at all. But Judge Napolitano, finally, Trump, can he, as a policy stater, as a more traditional politician, can he continue to dominate the field, or the more legit he goes, ironically, will that weaken him in the eyes of the people who love, you know, his reckless, wild passion?
I think Geraldo and Bernie, I think he has a base of 25% of the Republican Party. I think they're going to stick with him.
Is that enough to win?
Well, with 16 other opponents, it's enough to win.
That's enough to be up there.
And I think it's going to keep growing because the bar is so different.
I'm going to change the question here. Bernie Sanders leading Hillary Clinton
in Vermont?
No, what's that now? What are those numbers on that?
He's up in New Hampshire by 7 points.
So yeah. Bernie Sanders up over Hillary Clinton. I mean, admittedly, he comes from next door, but this is big news.
This is huge when you have a spittle-spewing nutcake socialist who's breathing down
Hillary. Chickened out to the Black Lives Matter.
Right, that's right.
People.
Which Trump pointed out, as you alluded to earlier, you have this guy actually overtaking the front runner, Hillary Clinton. That's a phenomenon. That's something.
I got to tell you this. Between Sanders 7 points ahead of Hillary and the surrender of her email server to the FBI, guess who was spotted on a treadmill earlier this week?
What's wrong with being on a treadmill? I was on a treadmill earlier this week.
Al Gore.
Al Gore.
All right.
Al Gore has got to explain how he took $400 million for Al Jazeera.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
First, he's got to lose that belly.
All right. Judge Napolitano, thank you for sitting here so nobly. Bernard McGurk, great to see you. I'll see both of you guys around the hallways.
Welcome back. Thank you.
Great to be back. Your calls, folks, 48 minutes after 10 o'clock. I missed you, Noam.
I missed you, too.
What you been doing?
I've been just hanging out. I took the kids, and we went to Bayonne. It was a pretty nice trip.
Bayonne?
Yeah, have you ever been to Bayonne? There's a bridge. I didn't know this. That connects Bayonne and Staten Island.
Who would have thought that? And you got a great view of the back of the Statue of Liberty.
You do. My kids loved every moment of it.
You sound like you were stoned the whole time. Anyway, missed you, everybody. What's on your mind? Obviously, the Trumpster still dominating the headlines politically. Jose in New Jersey, what's on your mind, buddy?
How you doing, buddy? Geraldo.
Excellent. What's up?
Welcome back. Missed you. I just wanted to talk about Megyn Kelly and her hypocritical, that she has the nerve to go on the Howard Stern show and talk about, you know, breasts and men's private parts, and then she, you know, tries to smash Donald Trump was a common teammate.
Yeah, I get that. I heard that too. And having been on the Howard Stern Show more than once, he definitely gets you into that. I mean, the first thing he asks you about is how big is your penis, or whether you use Viagra, and how many women, and did you sleep with this one? Did you sleep with that one? So I don't fault Megan for getting a little racy on that show. And I point out she's not running for president. He's had a very untraditional, for a politician, certainly for a person running for president, he's had a very untraditional background. But he, as he points out, he did graduate from Wharton School of Finance, which is probably the best business school. He was near the top of his class. He did establish a wonderful company. And as I tweeted out from Italy, if Donald Trump was truly a sexist in the obnoxious sense of that word, Ivanka would not be one of the most successful young women of her generation, and I would have won Celebrity Apprentice. I definitely would have. If he was a sexist, I would have won it. All right, let me squeeze in Wayne. Wayne from Pennsylvania. Say it quick. Wayne, what's up?
Hey, Geraldo. I was just wondering why you had the change of heart on Donald Trump.
In what sense, hon?
It seems like before you went away, you poo-pooed all over his campaign, saying,
I don't know about that.
He's going to go away like a fart in the wind.
I never said that, dude.
It's a matter of your shows.
You're smoking dope down there in Pennsylvania. Yeah. I don't know what that is. I think that everybody is stunned by the resilience of Donald Trump as compared not to July, but to May and June, when no one gave him a chance to be competitive in any sense. He has shown that, I said early on, and you can look it up on my Twitter account or my Facebook account, that those who poo-poo Donald Trump don't know the man. Those who scoff at his capacity and his capabilities don't know the man. I think he's got what it takes, but he's very controversial. What a thought was love that must have been lust. I was living in style when the walls fell in. When I played my hand, I looked like a joker. Turn around, fate must have woke up this lady luck. She was waiting outside the door. I'm winning. Katana? Sounds sort of country-ish. Man, was it hot in Italy? It was 100 degrees at times in Venice. I mean, you walk around, you just kind of wilt, but that's why it was nice being on the water in the Grand Canal. Venice is spectacular. Everything you've heard about the water rising, all that stuff, I don't know about that, but I know that it's a lot cleaner, the canals, than it has been at any time. This is like my fourth time there. First time for Erica, though, and obviously for Sol, our 10-year-old. But to see the condition of that fabulous city, there it is. And we went to, of course, with Erica, every place you go, you've got to go to the Jewish ghetto.
And there's one in Venice.
There could be like three Jews that were there 500 years ago. We got to find the one little mosaic that honors it. But the Venetians were a world power in their own right, a city state. And they welcomed the Jews in. The Jews helped finance their, with the Jews were the bankers, you know, the Merchant of Venice and all that, Shylock and all the rest. But I mean, it really is very interesting to now go, and they all understand, you know, it's like when you go to Krakow in Poland, you know, they have the Jewish ghetto. They have all like, it's like a Jewish, I saw someone write this, it's like a Jewish Disneyland without Jews. There's no Jews there, really.
Right. But they'll take Jewish dollars.
They take the Jewish tourists. Right. Come on, we'll show you where this was and that was and the. It's fascinating and to go. And now they are, you know, the four or five synagogues there. It was very interesting. But I mean, the cathedrals there, from the Duomo in Milano, which is gigantic. It's, I think, the second largest in the world. You could fit like three St. Patrick's inside it. Fabulous. And again, the Last Supper. See, Da Vinci's The Last Supper. And this is a guy that was inventing helicopters, doing so many other things. And by the way, the guy could paint in this historic way, the art, to see Jesus there at the Passover dinner, the Last Supper, and to see all of the characters, and you go through and you can just look at them as close as you and I are right now, and to realize how this piece has endured
how it captured that moment, you know, such an important pivotal moment in the Christian faiths, and to see the whole the Jewish connection, because it was a Passover dinner where Judas betrays with 30 pieces of silver Jesus to the Romans. It was just, I mean, I'm telling you, to see it all there alive, even though, yeah, I said I've been there, you know, all these different times. Now to see it through Erica's eyes for the first time, or through the 10-year-old, you know, Sol celebrated her 10th birthday there. It was Erica and my 12th anniversary. And to slow the world down and to be a tourist again is almost like being a born again in a way. You know, you look at it in ways you never did. It's so pleasing in many ways. And you know, taking them to Villa d'Este in Lake Como, where I've been also several times, but to see them there and to realize that this is something this child is going to remember for her whole life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was 10 years old, where did I go? I went to the Boy Scout camp in Lake Ronkonkoma one long weekend. That was my... And I peed in the sleeping blanket because someone told me a vampire story.
Oh, that's great.
All right, but the headline there, I think it's still Donald Trump and, you know, veering away from attacking Meghan or anybody else into these higher concept presidential things. And I love, like I've been saying all morning, how the Donald points out with vivid clarity how lobbyists have bought and paid for political favors and access to the traditional system. He talks about the stifling aspects of political correctness. I think we have to be sensitive to everybody, but he talks about how people are afraid to do anything or say anything for fear of being condemned by the largely liberal media. You know, so that's my advice to my old pal. You know, stick with that. Stick with the you know, your refreshing, high energy approach to politics. People are yearning for that. They don't want the wimps. They don't want the whiners. They don't want the lethargic politics of Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush. But no more bodily fluids. Just stay away from that. I think that hurt him, and I think that is clear now. So here, Donald Trump, July 28th to 29th in Rasmussen at 26%. Now he's down to 17. From 26 to 17, that's a 9-point drop. Marco Rubio up 10 points from 5 to 10. Jeb Bush tied. He was 10% then. He's 10% now. I think he's really the big loser, though, because he was the presumptive front runner. Scott Walker, who everybody thought was going to be so dominant in Iowa, he was at 14%. Now he's down to 9. Carly Fiorina, though, coming from 1% to 9%. Ben Carson, who did the clips I saw, I really was very impressed with Ben Carson, who would be another, I think, excellent choice as vice president on the GOP ticket, because he would definitely add an historic aspect to it. He's a brilliant neurosurgeon. He's not an affirmative action candidate. You know, speaking of which, that affirmative action stuff, that's what I had the beef with Roger Stone, that sleazy campaign aide. I've known him for a long time. I mean, marginally over the years. But when he said that my friend Anna Navarro and our other pal Roland Martin, that they were affirmative action hires because they criticized Donald Trump, I wanted to smack him. I really did. And then when he came after me for defending them, said I was pathetic, that's when I tweeted out that, you know, the next time I see him in a Fox screen room, I'm going to, you know, whack him and knock him out. But, you know, talking about that knocking out, my daughter, Simone, honor student at Northwestern, so proud of her. She said, Dad, you've got to stop talking about knocking people out. You got to grow up. You know, people in my generation, they like hearing what you have to say. But stop with the macho and this thing with Geno Smith.
Can I say something, though? Yeah. You know, people said that to me, too. They said, you know, when you were going to punch or threaten to punch Eric Bolling. And I said, something you got to remember about my friend Geraldo is he's a kid from the streets originally.
Yeah.
And so it's still in you and it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
And
I'm not on Avenue C, but
your brain somehow still is. Done. Yeah.
But yet I have to condemn this cold cocking of Geno Smith. I mean, whatever you think of Geno Smith and the New York Jets, I mean, the Post routinely describes them as hapless. And I guess they are. Were they winning 5 games last year, the whole season?
Something like that.
And Geno
yeah.
Smith was awful most of the time. Once in a while, he was okay. But to cold cock your teammate and to break his jaw and to put him out of action I'm settling the entire franchise. I mean, a third-string linebacker. It's really pathetic. I mean, this guy should be charged with assault.
I'm surprised that they haven't charged him.
I mean, he still can be, obviously. But, all right, Trump's still the headlines. I tell you what, Trump's the headlines, but Carly Fiorina. Crash, you have that clip, Carly Fiorina going from 1% to 9%. Let's listen to the
former. When I went into that debate last Thursday, less than 40% of Republican voters had ever heard my name. So I had a big introduction to do. And I think now that people know who I am, know that I am capable of not only winning this job, but doing this job, I'm going to continue doing what I've been doing, which is talking to as many voters as I can about what I think is necessary for our nation. And what I think is necessary, first and foremost, is a different kind of leadership that will challenge the status quo in Washington, get this economy going again, really cut government bureaucracy down to size and hold it accountable, and leadership that will restore our place in the world.
Many people would say that who want to be president. The question is, how do you do that?
All right, that's Charlie Rose, and that's a good point Charlie Rose made there at the end. I guess that was Charlie Rose, right? So, Carly Fiorina, I mean, she's a factor, but I mean, like I said, I think she has zero chance of getting the nomination. And that's the other thing Donald said after the whole thing with Megyn Kelly. He said, listening to Carly Fiorina after she criticized him for the Megyn thing, he said, listen to her for 10 minutes, you'd get a headache, a massive headache. Now, see, would you say you'd get a massive headache if it was a guy?
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. You know, and I think when you think about how Republicans are faring with women anyway, with the whole thing about Planned Parenthood, which we have not talked about, which we shall as the week progresses. You know, the week is almost over. Wait,
it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday already. Wow. But massive headache. Every guy relates to that, and yet it just makes you cringe because it's so politically incorrect to say it. You wouldn't say it if it was a guy. You know, so Donald is still, you talk about how I can't get Avenue C out of my system. You know, sometimes Donald can't get some of that other stuff
but
out of his.
But I think people were saying, I'm willing to look past that. Even if they're, you know, you can't be 100% with anybody. If you are, you need to have your head examined. You can't agree with everything someone says. If you agree with 60, 70%, that's your candidate, I think.
The question is this. Now, remember, I went to the University of Arizona. So I went to the University of Arizona. I think it's almost like my 50th anniversary coming up. So I went to to the University of Arizona. I was in the University of Arizona in 1964. 1964, you had Lyndon Johnson running for his own presidency. He had been, of course, he took the presidency when JFK was assassinated in 63. So he had LBJ running against Barry Goldwater from Arizona. You know, Barry Goldwater, we knew in the University of Arizona, you knew Barry Goldwater. And so what happened? So there was this very... I mean, we're all reading Ayn Rand, first of all, and we're all into, you know, The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged. Barry Goldwater was a libertarian, wonderful, kind of a Ron Rand Paul kind of guy, but very confident. And so what happens? LBJ starts running advertisements featuring an atomic bomb exploding. So you want Barry Goldwater as a little girl with a flower in the foreground, and an atomic bomb goes off. He's a reckless, you know, cowboy. You can't play... the stakes are way too high for you to, you know, be in that. And that's the question about Donald Trump. Does he have the sufficient temperament to be president of the United States when the consequences of acting out are so profound? You know, that is the issue that is still unresolved, I believe, in the minds of many people in the public. Like the 25% that I think Judge Napolitano accurately describes as his 25% of the GOP primary voters that are attracted to Donald Trump in a general sense. I think he's right about that. But can he go further than that? Can he broaden that appeal given the fact that he does have that what I call a trick gene? I've got it. That's why I've had in so many of the bar fights and everything else. My friend John Peters, the producer, has it. And I think Donald Trump has it too. We have that edgy thing that, you know, we respond in a way that is not quite traditional, but I think it's both our appeal and our downside, if you get my point.
Yeah, but I think what helps him is the longer he's in the race, I think he starts to look more presidential, number one. And number two, you name me one of these other 16 presidential candidates who's going to knock him off that ledge.
Beats
None
me.
Of them have that charisma.
But when Bernie McGurk was on, and he started talking about the things in the other people's background, like Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio had there was a day or two there, everybody saying, Marco Rubio, he's the man of the hour, in his 40s, he's flat broke. So everything he does is with the money he raises from somebody. And he did lie about his parents' background. His parents did not flee Castro, even though that fit neatly into his political scenario. They actually left Batista, the dictator Batista, the right-wing dictator, and they left because they wanted to have a better life for themselves. God bless. They were traditional immigrants, came to the United States, and they, you know, made a better life, and here their son's running for president. But, you know, to embellish your background, you know, it's hard to get over that. It's hard to recover from that, and I think that will haunt him. But, you know, everyone's got something in the background. Everybody's got a little something. And now the question is, and I've got to take a break, but I'm going to get to your calls at 866-RALDO. I appreciate your patience. So Jimmy, Peter, Papa, Soma, Marion, and the others, please hold on. 19 after 11 o'clock. Cher, of course, we're sending this out to the Dutch Army. They're running low on bullets, so when they have maneuvers, they don't shoot the guns. They just say, bang, bang.
Come on.
That'll really scare those Russians. Bang, bang. Okay, what's on your mind? Ferris is calling, our buddy from Connecticut. All right, Ferris, you're up. What are you thinking about?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
My neighbor, Roberto, asked me to send you his love. One day you questioned whether or not I would have a neighbor named Roberto.
Did I?
Remember, I don't know, you can't remember everything. You've got a great show, Geraldo, and we appreciate you. But secondly, we appreciate your callers, because the Vox Populi, that's Latin for voice of the people, is key. All the guests, all the everything else is subordinate. We love to hear the callers, but I would call to tell you how Hillary Clinton wins this thing, no problem. This email thing goes away. And Trump wins the nomination. He can do it going away. He can.
So you think it's going to be Trump versus Hillary?
A Trump Fiorina ticket, and he might put Fiorina on the top, and then she can rip Hillary apart. But there's no doubting the outcome of the election because of the Spanish corporation SCYTL, which has already counted the votes, and Hillary wins narrowly. That's the result. But here's how Trump wins right now. Okay, what's more important than election frigging? We all know election frigging determines elections. It's not the people voting.
Ferris, focus here. Focus. You're at the debate. Focus.
Yeah, I went to the debate, but I was in the company of Judge Knapp's high school Latin teacher from Bloomfield High School.
Enough with the Latin here. What's on your mind right now?
Well, here's how Trump wins this, puts it to bed right now. He takes it to a new level. See, he's already beat the media. And he's exposed them for the people that they are. And he just simply withdraws from all future menageries. These are not debates. These are menageries. So by declaring that he will do no more of this, he'll go direct to the people like he did yesterday in where? I think it might have been Michigan.
Michigan, yep.
Boy, I'm doing pretty good today, Geraldo. And he can do it without the debate. So, and no one will tune into the debates.
That's fascinating. Okay, Ferris, I get it. That's a fascinating idea. Avoid the debates because who's going to watch them without Trump? I mean, Trump did 24 rating. It was almost as big as my Elvis special. Huge. Highest cable news program in the history of television. I mean, when you say that, you got to stop and say the cable television has been around since 1980, right? I mean, cable news has been around 1980. To have the highest rating, that includes everything, during the Monica Lewinsky and the impeachment and the war and everything, to have the highest rating ever, is breathtaking. It is so impressive. And it was all about him. Was it a reality show? Did they watch for entertainment value? Whatever it was, 4 years ago, it was one-tenth that audience. One-tenth that audience for the debates 4 years ago. And now look what he does. So if he avoids it, like he didn't go to that red state thing.
Right.
That guy, Erickson.
Disinvited him.
Yeah. So who took the hit from Trump being disinvited to the red state thing? No one cared about the red state thing without Trump. I mean, that's the thing. That when I was quoted in the New York Times when Trump announced, I said it was the day after Jeb Bush announced. I said, on Monday, Jeb Bush announced. Who would you rather watch, Jeb Bush or Donald Trump? And that was going to be why I thought people were lowballing his chances, Donald Trump's chances. He is so magnetic. He is so charismatic. He is so entertaining to watch. The question is, will people vote for him? Will they trust him with the red phone at 3 in the morning? Or will they worry that he's going to blow up something? Delightful to be back. Rode my bicycle from our apartment on the Upper East Side. Came down Fifth Avenue. Came through the park at 72nd Street. Down 7th Avenue. Right through Times Square. Gorgeous, gorgeous day. Drove past the Good Morning America set there. I went through the old garment district. Got here to Madison Square Garden. Now we're sitting 17 stories high above the fabled arena. Now on 33rd Street. No more press parking there, I noticed. It's one of the reasons I took my bicycle. Now it's a pedestrian arcade with seats and everything. It's really, I like
nice.
That.
Yeah.
What I fear is what? What do I fear? I fear that every bum is going to be, pissing on it, sleeping on it. That was even in Europe. They had the, when I was at the New York Post, or one of the newspapers went after or said, send these pictures of the homeless and the, the people living. They do seem to be multiplying in the de Blasio administration. And the mayor seems, God bless him. He's got a tough job, but he does not seem to be attracting the respect and affection of New Yorkers. Andrew Cuomo doing a bit better, the governor. And mentioning Governor Cuomo, I have to say that Erica and I, my wife and I, send out our best wishes to Sandra Lee, the governor's significant other, who had some complications following that double mastectomy that she had. Isn't that what she had? That was the process?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now some infection, I guess. That's always the scary thing about surgery. And we wish her the best. I mean, she's a wonderful personality. And, Eric and I were with her, for a dinner some time ago, but she just seems so charming and just so nice. And I wish her the best. You know, it's interesting, watching the stock market tank down 200 plus points, to lose all that money when you're spending all that money on vacation is very depressing. To come back, it's interesting. The reason behind the market decline, and I get to your calls momentarily, folks, at 866-HERALDO, The problem is that the Chinese now have devalued their currency. What does that mean? That means that Chinese products will now be cheaper and more attractive to U.S. consumers. So the fear is that U.S. manufacturing will be hurt by the fact that the Chinese are now can flood the market with their cheaper goods because they've devalued their currency to get their own tepid economy up and going. So that's a big fear. Now, what is interesting is, we went to Europe last year as well. The euro, the European currency, was much higher last year. Things were much more expensive over in Europe than they were this year. The euro is way down. So for tourists, the strong dollar is great because you're there and the dollar buys you a lot of euros. So if you're overseas, wherever you travel, your dollar goes further. Except I do notice that the Italians just hiked the prices on everything.
Oh, they did.
Make up for the declining dollar. You know what is interesting also? No Russians. Last year, Russians everywhere. This year, no Russians. I mean, the oligarchs are still there. The guys, the high rollers that are buying the houses in Venice and in Lake Como. With no tourists, no Russian tourists. And you know why? Because of all this Ukraine stuff, the ruble, the Russian currency, is way down. It's gone down, I don't know at what percentage, but it's huge, the decline of the value of the Russian currency. So you don't see any Russians. It's so interesting how things go in waves now. But the Russians really hurt by Vladimir Putin's arrogance and his imperialism and taking over Crimea and eastern Ukraine and all the rest of it. You don't see Russian, just like they were on the verge of normalcy until this Napoleon got this new complex. And, how would Trump deal with Vladimir Putin? It would just be fascinating to see. I wonder, would he shake his hand? Would he push him? What would he do? Would he tower over him?
I mean, that's the attraction, though, is that he seems so fearless up there. right? For
fearlessness is great, except you've got to be temperate also when the time comes. Okay, now your turn. 866 Geraldo. Jimmy, thank you so much for holding on. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. Listen, you want to get ratings, take callers. Too much talk about superficial things about you riding your bicycle up and downtown.
Hey, you don't like it, Jimmy. Take ratings, a walk. You know? Take a walk, Jimmy. You don't like it. What do you want to talk about?
No,
that's what
well,
you called
I
me
mean,
for?
Trump is the main thing. And that's
you want me to, you, you
to
call me to tell
him
to bust my chops because I'm telling you I rode my bicycle to work?
No, I'm not putting up for that. I'm just talking about people in America right now are totally rejecting the press. They understand where the press comes from. It's all leftist, and people are sick of it. And finally, there's somebody who's going to help us fix the problem.
All right, Jimmy. I think that he kind of backed into an important point there. All right, Peter in New York, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, Geraldo, first of all, I don't know if you remember Gleason's gym. Remember Peter?
Of course, Gleason? Of course.
So, buddy, you had a decent jab, but your right hand needed a little work. Freddie Brown had me spar with you many rounds. I don't know if you recall. But you shouldn't threaten people because you're a true tough guy. And, you know, you gotta watch your game.
I know. I heard from my daughter, Simone. I told you the kids don't like it. They don't like it. So you're right, Peter. But
Freddie told you that.
He did. I do have a good job.
But back to my point, I think that we do a little bit of a disservice to Donald by saying that he has odd qualifications. But Bloomberg, in my estimation, was one of the best mayors ever.
I agree.
And he was a businessman. He had never ran for office.
I agree. And he also had the same thing. He wasn't beholden to anybody. Like Donald Trump.
And Carly Fiorina.
I don't know how much money she has. I don't know.
But she never held public office.
I like that. I don't think that you need to hold public office to be the chief executive of the country. I think that you can be briefed on what do you need to be briefed on. I always said that in reporting or commentating or being a pundit, you give me a briefing paper, give me a couple of hours, I'll be conversant whether it's nuclear energy or the sex life of crabs. I think that I could be conversant, a reasonably intelligent person, and Trump can learn, and he'll have advisors in this area and that area. But temperament is something that is not taught. Temperament is something that you have or you don't have. And I think that, you know, having seen him, you know, remember with Apprentice, and I appreciate the call, with Apprentice, I was with him every day for 6 weeks. And you really see someone in an intimate way, the way you and I see each other. Now. You know my tics, you know whatever it is. And to see him and watch him, and to understand, one of the most impressive things, and I hardly ever talk about it, is to see him with his grandchildren. You never think about Trump as a granddad, but to see him with Ivanka and with Eric and with Donald Jr., this is a real menschy guy, a real dad, a real open, a real modern person. He doesn't distinguish or differentiate one is capable of this or that because of this sex or that whatever it is. He really is, in many ways, an admirable person. Now, anyway, whatever the limitations, real or perceived, but you also, you get it, and I think that a lot of the dissatisfaction with the process, you know, even the guy who was just busting me up about taking my bicycle, the disquiet that so many people share, and they share it, and these are relatively good times. Now, I know a lot of people are struggling, but you compare it to Europe, say. We've got an unemployment rate of 5.3. Europe is like 10%, and in many of the southern European countries, it's double that. So, and they're worried about, the recession, and they never got out of the recession, and this and that. And we are such a shining example, despite the fact we lost at 1,000 damn points on the Dow in the last month or so. I think we'll get it back up. But there is, despite the relative prosperity in the United States, there is a sense that our leaders are out of touch. And I think that that's a legitimate feeling, and I think Trump is tapping into it. Hi, Susan. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Well, it's fine if you want to talk about riding your bicycle, but when you were speaking about Carly Fiorina not really having a chance and almost just dismissing her and very condescending and how she's going to give men a headache if they listen too long, I totally.
Wait, that was Donald Trump. That wasn't
Melania. You're out of touch because she is very dignified, is very capable, and she's a fighter. She's not like John McCain against Obama. It's his fault that we ever got Obama to begin with. Now, she's a fighter. She went against Barbara Boxer and ran a very respectable campaign.
But she lost to Barbara Boxer. But it was a blue state, California.
I think you better take her seriously.
I do take her seriously, but you don't like my idea of her being in the second spot?
I don't think that possibly. We want anybody but an establishment candidate. That's what you have to understand. You just said something about the Republican or the leaders being out of touch. They're not out of touch. They're dishonorable. They're fighting against the American public. And that's why Ben Carson, Trump, and Carly Fiorina need to be at the top of this ticket. I don't really care in what capacity. And I am thrilled to see her, not because she's a woman, because of how she's conducting herself, how she's communicating. That's what we need.
Susan, excellent call. I appreciate it. Very smart lady, and I appreciate you calling 866 Irrelevant. You've got to take a break. Great to be back. 54 minutes after 11 o'clock. Papa Fred, you still there? Thank you so much for holding on. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, Geraldo. Listen, I got to tell you, I'm a loyal listener, and I love your show. And referring to your ride into work this morning, I don't care what anybody says, I thought it was great.
Thank you.
I visualized every inch of the trip, and it was great. But you can't top my trip. I'm on the thruway headed towards Saratoga. I won't bore you with
you going to play the ponies? You going to play the ponies up there? They running?
But of course.
Don't lose too much money. So what's on your mind, Pop?
Yeah, just let me know what you want. I have no tips. But anyhow, Harold, I just want to tell you that timing is everything, and if we ever needed a game changer, it's now. Donald Trump is a game changer. He's the Muhammad Ali of this race. He floats like a butterfly. He stings like a bee. But I've spent a lot of time with Donald in his office and personally, and he is no different when the camera comes on than when it's not coming on.
I agree with that.
It's like sitting at the kitchen table talking to him, okay? I was with him plenty of times when Ivanka was like 6 years old, and the love he has for his family is incredible. And when you talk about the 3 o'clock in the morning call, I just happened to be with him one night. And we were both fast asleep. He was in one room. I was in another room in Atlantic City. And he had gotten some crisis call at 3 o'clock in the morning about one of the casinos. And he got this call from the casino commission. He got up out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, woke me up, got his driver. We both hopped in the car and went to see what the problem was. So it's living proof that he does get up at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's a crisis, and he doesn't call anybody to cover.
What was your relationship, Pop? I'm just curious. What was your relationship?
My relationship with him was a business relationship, and he was close to someone in my family, and spent a lot of time with him in his office.
I got it. Well, listen, don't lose too much money up there. So beautiful in Saratoga. So beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Right. When you're taking this ride, it looks like there's no problems in the world.
That's right, brother. Okay, right. Enjoy. I actually ran into someone, a couple of people playing the ponies in Saratoga in Italy. So everyone I ran into there. It's so interesting. You know, sometimes, usually it's, I loved you on Celebrity Apprentice or right. I see you on Fox News. So many people told me that they listen every morning right here on 77 WABC. I was so impressed. I mean, obviously, mostly from the New York area, but not exclusively. A lot of people listen to the podcast, etc. And it was very touching. And they could, quote, trap them verse. They know you. They know the scene. Huh. It was very heartening. And I appreciate it. I love you, everybody. Listen, you know, yeah, we have our beefs from here to there, but we're in this together.